Sports with Coach Brent Indes, brought to you in part by Iberia Sports and Rehab, Hike, Minvale, Grubbs, and Dalbor, Swing Insurance, Blazing Specialties, Additive Solutions, Cane Row Golf and Turf Club, The Quarter Tavern, Arsenal Ford, Frank Specialty Fitness Equipment, and Action Specialties. Now, here's Coach Indes.
All right, let's add LA Classic Roofing, the official roofer of Bayou Sports and Grittick Electric. My man Jonas Hebert. How we doing this morning, Turbo?
It's Thursday.
Yeah, we're gaining on it, pal.
Oh, we got a lot to do today.
Gaining on the weekend. I'm hoping this wind dies down a little bit. I'm not a wind guy. I guess all the years as a coach being outside, I'm a golfer, and I can handle a little cold. I can handle a little heat. But, man, when you throw that wind in there, it was blowing like crazy yesterday.
That it was. But it was pretty day.
Yeah.
Just got to put up better with the wind. Better. You golfers, I'm sure, had a lot of issues with the wind yesterday.
Well, great day today in the town of St. Martinville.
Oh, absolutely.
We got big stuff going on.
Absolutely. The town of St. Martinville is ripping and rocking. And what time would the team leave to head to Lake Charles today?
You have different philosophies, but typically – you're going to leave fairly early. So if they tip off at 5, I would think that you leave around lunchtime, 2:30-ish, you're looking to stop somewhere and eat. Okay, feed your kids a nice meal.
90 minutes before, two and a half hours before tip off?
You know.
Food's going to digest.
Yes. And I'm going to tell you, that's why I'm torn, because before a 7 o'clock kickoff, my guys, we would eat at 3, so 4 hours. So,
okay.
You know, I don't know. I'd say this, maybe a big lunch and then a snack, like some type of snack, because you definitely don't want to go too long. But
like a protein snack?
Yeah. But, you know, a little carbs isn't – it's not bad either,
okay.
You know, because you're going to burn those carbs. But it is. I tell you, I would struggle with that 5 o'clock time. That's something I would definitely call somebody who's had to deal with that time structure before. I was very lucky. Most of the games that my teams played in the Superdome were always late.
Except one.
Okay, which one was that?
The very first one. Didn't you play at 11 o'clock in the morning or 10:30 or something?
No, because that was against Calvary, and it was after. We were the second game that day.
Oh, you were?
We were the second game, because I remember one of my quotes in the paper was, I showed up and I saw the single-A game, and somebody was getting beat 41-7 at a half, and I got sick to my stomach because I was like, oh, my God, that could be us. Because, of course, we were playing that Calvary team that was just so loaded.
Yeah.
And it may not have been 7, but it was later. But it's a juggling match, because you want to keep it as much the same as you can for your guys.
I mean, those games are time, 3 hours apart, and there's no way your team could get on and off the field, especially win a state championship and then have another team warm up. It just, they were overrun so bad.
Absolutely, especially when you had a couple of passing teams, it would really go long.
Absolutely.
But anyway, so you got the number 11 seed St. Martinville. 11 seed now.
They've come a long way during the course of the playoffs, you know. 11 seed, they beat the number 2 seed, which was Wasserman, up in the Cajun Dome. I believe that was Monday night. And then earlier they beat Sophie Wright, the number 3 seed. And they beat they just working their way across the board there. They started off beating Donaldsonville 67-63. Then Ville Platte, 55-41. Must have been hunting season in Ville Platte. Anyway, and then on the 5th, last Friday, they beat Sophie Wright, the number 3 seed. So they've beaten the 3 seed, the 2 seed. Now the 1 seed staring them in the face.
Is that a caller?
It
no?
is.
Okay.
It is.
We got a caller on. Let's see what they have to say.
Up
on us.
Yeah, they sure did.
Okay. Maybe it was a call for a birthday and they just got confused. Okay.
Maybe so. 5-3-4-3-4-3-6-5-3-4-3-4.
That's if you're calling for a birthday.
That's right.
367-1240 if you'd like to call on the show.
Correct.
I love, just a little funny tidbit on the side, I love you talked about Sophie Wright. It's actually Sophie B. Wright.
That's correct. Okay. I didn't say the B, but it
yeah,
is.
But Sophie B. Wright.
The B's there, yes.
Well, in Newman played them. They play them pretty often in football. And after the game, my buddy Nelson Stewart would say, the kids would chant, "Sophie B, wrong." Instead of Sophie B right, she'd be wrong.
Just a little bit of the grudge is there, huh?
All right, so just throwing this out there. Yesterday, had a pop with a couple of guys and met with Gabe Fuselier.
Oh, your former wingback, wide receiver.
Yes, do everything. Yeah. One of the fastest kids ever coached. Gabe is now teaching at St. Martinville Middle School. Yeah, or at the elementary or the middle school. And he's out there. He's hustling on the side doing a bunch of different things. And so we were sitting there talking with a couple of guys, and I had to tell him this story. So Gabe, nobody believed me when I told him how fast Gabe was. Okay, and I've timed kids, hand-timed kids, for 30 years. On my watch, I know exactly how they time them in the NFL. I've timed them the same way. Now, as I've discussed before on the show, hand-timed and laser-timed are completely two different things.
Absolutely.
So when you say a guy ran 4.4 hand-timed, he's actually a 4.58 guy, okay, laser-timed. It's different. Well, anyway, I timed Gabe several times under 4.4. Hand-timed. Again, if somebody tells you they ran laser-timed under 4.4, they're probably lying to you.
Yeah, but
I'm not saying that they aren't out there, but they're probably lying to you.
I understand.
Okay. So the Cajuns, so I'm talking to Coach Hudspeth, and I'm talking to all my guys over there, and I'm explaining it to them, and they're like, "Well, Coach, you know, we're going to have to see him run that." And I really took offense to it because I had built a reputation over my career that if I tell you, I'm not lying to you, because I'm also going to tell you when I think a kid's too slow, my reputation's on the line. I'm not going to lie, because it might help one kid, but it's going to hurt the next 10.
That's true.
Okay? Well, Gabe, so I'm telling this story, and Gabe had never heard me tell this story. So Gabe goes to camp. I get a text from Mark Hudspeth. He said, "OMG, I just timed him at 4.37. The exact time that I had timed him. I said, "Hey, dude," and I stole this from a Terry Bradshaw quote. I said, "If I tell you a rooster can pull a freight train, hook the son of a gun up."
A rooster pulled the freight train. See the bulldog.
Hook him up.
Bulldog.
Hook him up.
Oh, great story.
Hook him up. So Gabe, of course, went on and had a solid career. UL finished his career at Nichols. And like I said, now he's out there. He wants to take on the world in the business world just as he has with his football career, and wishing him the best. He was an integral part of me getting the portion of my Catholic high career off and running, and those kids getting behind me and just led us to a great 7-year run with the Panthers.
Were he and Pellerin seniors together?
Or no, was so Gabe was a senior when Jason was a junior.
Was that your first year there?
Yeah, when Gabe was a senior, correct.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah, we got off to a rough start that year, but ended up losing a heartbreaker in the semifinals to Calvary, which would have led to a state title if we get by that one, because Calvary infamously won the next week, 60-7 or something.
Yeah, they beat Hannon of all teams.
Correct.
That's correct. With a buddy of mine, Pat Lambert, was on that team. He was a head coach. Know him well.
Yeah. So, just a good kid. And anytime I get to mention a guy like that, I want to, because, and like a lot of kids, went to college, grew his hair long, man. He had that shaggy look. But, man, now, boy, he's got that hair tight and good looking. And like I said, it fires me up when I see these young men, and what I try to do is tell them all the things that I wish I knew now. I wish I knew then that I know now, you know, passing on some wisdom and things that I think that he can do along with what he's doing in St. Martinville. And he's flipping houses and he's doing different things. So, just great kid.
Experience is the ultimate knowledge source.
Absolutely. There's a lot of times I could just, you know, kick myself in the tail for not. But again, when you're in coaching, you kind of go through life with blinders on. The education system in general, it's not – and look, I spent 30 years. I loved it. Don't regret it. But you go through life with blinders on. It's a very closed world, the education system is.
But, you know, I always feel the education system is a form of discipline. You've got to go to class. You've got to study. You got to do homework. You got to do this. It's setting your discipline patterns down with education, and that's what it's all about. And as you get into the workforce, that discipline carries over, too.
Yep. Well, and what I'm saying, though, from a worker's perspective, from an employee's perspective in the education system, it's just – it's different. You just you really don't know how the business world works, all these things. It's different.
Very.
LHS, Lorville High girls, a couple of days ago, come back from a 3-2 deficit and I think hang 6 or 8 runs in one inning and beat Catholic High's girls in softball 10-4. It's going to be a little different this year, so this wasn't an official district game. They're only playing one official district game, one round. So this was an unofficial district game for those.
Is that also equivalent for the hardball as it is?
I do not know that.
Yeah,
I think it is. I know they were pushing for that last year, but I don't know that.
I've got some schedules, but I haven't really reviewed them yet.
From there, moving on. Let's do a little 180 here, and let's talk Saints football.
I'm ready.
Saints, from what I've read and gather, they're in a pickle right now. Because of the salary cap.
Big time.
They're in a bind.
Very.
And they are scrambling right now to create funds so that they can bring in people. Just a few of the latest moves. I want to talk about Thomas Morstead in a minute. So just recently, they put the franchise tag on Marcus Williams, which...
Yeah, I don't understand that either.
I don't understand it, but I'm not going to question it because those guys are way smarter than me, and I don't know. I'm going to try to start learning about this so I can discuss it more professionally on the show so I can understand it better.
And Loomis is a numbers man is why he was hired, period.
Yeah. So I'm not going to – is Marcus Williams the best player on the team? No, but I do understand that the franchise tag, it's a manipulation – of numbers. Okay, so I might have to listen to Kevin Foote later and see what give him a call, see what he thinks about it. He knows a little bit more about that. But also, they've restructured Andreas Pete and Malcolm Jenkins. They've restructured their contracts to create, and what they do, they kick the can down the road when they restructure.
You're right.
They're kicking the can down the road. Demaryius Davis, Cam Jordan also restructured. And they're not going to re-sign Quan Alexander, who was a great addition, but again, he had a high price tag.
Yeah, late in the year, he did help them a lot.
Yeah, right. Former LSU player, Quan Alexander. And of course, still, the reigning gazillion-dollar question is where they're going to go quarterback-wise. What's the plan?
I think March 17th is the D-Day of when they have to the new season starts. Yeah.
I don't know how much I'd bet, but I think I'd bet the house that Breeze is done. Okay, don't see him coming back.
It's just crazy.
Again,
let's hope the Saints know.
I would be shocked if Drew Brees is stringing the Saints out. I think that they're, again, I'm not in the know enough to understand all of the monetary ramifications, all the different things. So I do believe that there is a reason why that Drew Brees hasn't said anything. I'm not saying I know that. I think that. Because Drew Brees has been such a, you know, he's just been the perfect guy. Yeah, you know, we had a little controversy at the beginning of the year. Said what he said, then he backed down from it. It was damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because if he would, you know, it's just a whole locker room thing. But for the most part, let's face it, Drew Brees has been the Saints
pretty much. And analytically, this is how I look at it. With all these cuts the Saints are making, you know, with regards to meeting, and the salary cap has come down. It didn't go up.
Correct.
In previous years, it's come down.
Correct.
$6 to $7-8 million. And my thought process, they're cutting all these guys. And if Drew Brees retires, that's going to open up $22, $25 million of room.
Yep.
You know, so they'll be able to go out and find another quarterback if they don't basically want Winston to stay around and Hill and that crowd. So it's Loomis.
I just believe if you stand pat, I think Taysom Hill's your guy. I'm going forward with Taysom Hill. That's my guy if I'm moving forward.
Well, look what Teddy Bridgewater did.
The only deal is with Taysom Hill. Is your philosophy going to be, I'm going to try to turn Taysom Hill into more of a drop-back passer, or are you going to allow him to be the Tim Tebow-esque guy that he can be? But if you do that, you better have a backup ready to go that can do similar things.
And there goes his special teams work.
It's not that easy, because we did see when Taysom became the starter, Peyton did not use him in the same way that he did as a backup.
That's right.
Which is, I'm telling you, it's hard to defend. Those guys, the Lamar Jacksons and whatnot, that is a nightmare for defenses to defend.
And then Hill's at least much, much bigger than those other guys. Yeah. You know, he can take a blow.
Lastly, before we go to the break. So, Morstead, you got a video out there. The guy's kind of saying bye to the Saints faithful. He tears up. You feel for the guy. But we alluded a little bit to it yesterday. When you become too good as a punter and you demand X amount of money, not only because how good you are, because of your number of years in the NFL, you're guaranteed X amount of dollars if you've lasted so long. You just become unaffordable for the team. We talked about it yesterday. I just wanted to throw it again today for anybody different listening as we're talking about the Saints, that if they can get a guy for half the price that's going to punt just a little worse, they're going to say, you know. And I know a guy like Sean Payton. He's like me. Now, of course, in the NFL, you're not going to go weeks without punting. You're going to punt every game. But, you know, I was one of those guys. I'm like, you know, punting was like raising a white flag to me. You know, if we worried about punting, what's the matter with our offense?
You ever punted on third down?
No. No. I rarely punted on fourth down.
But, you know, with Morstead, I don't think he had the year he's had. His numbers were down a little bit this year. Mm-hmm. Not a lot, but a little bit.
My favorite cockiest retort to one of my buddies one day, he was like, it was a guy that hadn't watched his play in a while, and he said, what's your third down percentage? And, you know, I just found it to be a stupid question. And I was like, dude, we rarely get the third down. Good stuff. All right. We are going to get an old friend of mine, an old college buddy, Keith Morgan, who is now the softball coach and has been the softball coach at Delcom for quite a while now, doing a great job with those girls. Of course, Delcom softball has a great tradition. Of course, we had Andrew Madden on yesterday, and we're going to move to the ladies' side with softball, and we'll have Keith Morgan right back right here at www.kane1240.com. See you in a minute.
We're making it easy at Arsenal Ford this month. What month is it?
It's truck month.
Take $13,000 off the last 2020 F-150s in stock. Because it's truck month.
We make it easy at Arsenal Ford.
Additive Solutions LLC is protecting frontline workers in the fight against COVID-19. Additive Solutions supplies custom safety shields, air purification, and steam sanitation. Our custom glass installs quickly and is extremely easy to clean, and our industrial purifiers restore your space with the freshest air possible. We will steam sanitize and hand clean all high traffic areas in your facility. Please visit Additive Solutions LLC or call Jace Dugai at 337-577-4858.
Nowadays, none of us can be without adequate insurance coverage, but we still want to be sure we're getting the best value for the money. That's why so many people call the Schwing Insurance Agency to get a quote. The Schwing family has been handling the insurance needs of businesses and homeowners for almost 80 years. You can depend on Schwing Insurance to find the coverage you need at the best price. So before you buy a new policy or renew an existing one, call the Schwing Insurance Agency for a quote at 365-2357. Schwing Insurance, 300 East Main, across from the Shadows.
Folks, I'm going to let you in on the best-kept secret in New Iberia. It's called Blazing Specialties. Robert Romero daily prepares a masterpiece of Cajun-inspired delicacies, such as stuffed breads, wings, boudin, crackling, as well as pre-cooked and frozen foods. Need an event catered? Look no further than Blazing Specialties to make your event unforgettable. When I bring food to a customer, it's always Blazing Specialties. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m., and located at 1115 Center Street next to Freeman Plaza. Blazing Specialties. Come and get you some.
Is it time for a new roof or to repair the old one?
Hi, this is Jake Blanchard with LA Classic Roofing. We're a third-generation roofing contractor that has been in the business for over 70 years. As a locally owned and operated company, we're also licensed and insured for your peace of mind. We offer free estimates and a $100 referral fee for full roof replacement. Check us out on Facebook at LA Classic Roofing. And the number to call is 465-3888. LA Classic Roofing, professional roofing solutions since the 1950s.
Hey guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
With more than 20 years of service to Acadiana, Action Specialties is the leading provider of uniforms, workwear, screen printing, and promotional products in the South. When it comes to building your brand, Action Specialties has you covered. Whether you need signs and decals for your business, T-shirts and polos for your office, or FR uniforms for your workforce, call Action Specialties for all of your logoed needs. To plan your next project, call Action Specialties at 337-367-1664 or visit us on the web at actionspecialties.com. That's actionspecialties.com.
Be at the Corner Tavern this Saturday for the rescheduled Mardi Gras brunch to benefit local charities. The live music begins at 10 with the Cajun Company Band, and at 2, it's the Basin Street Band. From barbecue to etouffee, fried fish, and more, a variety of food by local cooking teams. No charge, but donations will be accepted to benefit local charities. That's this Saturday. Doors open at 9 at the Corner Tavern, 910 East Main, across from McDonald's. The best drink prices in DeBary.
Now back to Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indest on the all-new Kane 107.5.
Okay, we're back, and we were discussing the St. Martinville-Madison prep game earlier. And just to let all of our listeners know, tune in, 5 p.m. tip-off, Lake Chuck, our local right there down the road.
Burton Coliseum.
Burton Coliseum, St. Martinville Tigers facing Madison Prep. I mean, 11 versus 1. Tony will be on the mic right there in the Coliseum calling the game. So tune in around 4:50 for the opening, and we will be there covering this historic event. Folks, you can't take for granted state championship appearances. You just can't. They just don't happen that often. So let's all get behind the St. Martinville Tigers. If you can't make it to Burton Coliseum, tune in right here on Kane. Talk a little high school sports. We got my man Keith Morgan. Keith, how we doing?
Oh, not too bad, Mr. Indes. How you doing?
Mr. Hello. Hey, did my dad just walk in? Keith, well, I was discussing before the break how far you and I go back.
Lord.
You know, back in the old flag football and softball. Ooh. And back in those days, I was telling them that you were one of the you officiated so many of our flag football games and all the things we did. Played softball, of course. That was a good little gig for you in college, wasn't it? You probably stored some coin doing that.
I would love to go back to those days. I probably made more than I do now.
Well, the one thing we do know, your expenses back then weren't what they are now. So,
oh no,
you know, I always say there's gross and there's net, and I will say that you may have netted more back then than you're netting now. You just didn't. You didn't gross as much.
That's true.
Oh, good stuff, man. So, Keith, how long has it been now since you've been at Delcom?
This is my 8th year.
Okay, 8 years, and most of those years has it all been. Have you been that all 8 years?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Actually, speaking of St. Martinville, that's where I was before here. So
exactly. Yeah, because you were there at a time with Coach, our mutual friend, Coach Mark Broussard.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Okay. And so, Coach, maybe for those of you that aren't familiar with you, with your program, just give us a brief history of when you left USL, of course, where it was at the, you know, USL at the time, and what led you to get you to Delcom High School?
Like I said, when I got out of UL, I went to Louisville and working under Kirk Crochet, a great coach to work underneath. And I was doing baseball, actually. And that was where I started for about 9 years there. Wonderful years there. I had some great years there. Left there, went to Falls River for a year. When I got to Falls River, that's where my softball career actually started. They told me I couldn't coach baseball. I had to coach girls softball. And I told them I can't stand girls softball. You're crazy. I will never coach girls. And after 1 year of coaching girls, I said, I will never coach boys baseball ever again. I have had more fun with girls softball than I think I ever did. I left there and went to Morgan City, made a playoff appearance in Sulphur, my first year at Morgan City. And the second year, we didn't do as well. But like you said, those playoff appearances, they're something special. You know, I can't tell you what the days were going to Sulphur and just, you know, the experience we had, the fun we had there. Had some great players. Went to St. Martinville. Program was not very good. I think they had, the year I got there, the year before, they had 2 wins the year before and maybe 3 or 4 wins the year before that. So we turned it around, and in 2 years we had made it to where they could actually, we made playoffs 3 years, you know, running, and kind of got them back into a situation where they were actually a team to beat. You know, we had some wins and some success. And like I said, our mutual friend, Coach Broussard, came to Delk and said, hey, look, they got a program here. They're looking for a coach. And I was like, hey, I can do that. And, you know, so we moved over to Delcom, and after 10 years in St. Martinville, like I said, it was a great place to be. It just, you know, I moved here to try to try something different and got here and had a great group of girls to work with. And every year we have the same thing. We just have good kids, you know.
Once folks move into Delcom, they rarely leave. Which just says so much about the community and the way everybody supports each other there. And of course, my ties to the Delcom community through Darcy Delcom, who is my high school football coach, who I think the world of. And Darcy, of course, recently retired, and is watching his grandkids grow up and just having a great time right now. But Keith, there was a statement made by a college softball coach that I remember Mark Schwer and I talked about. And I'm just wondering your take on this statement. This gentleman who coached ladies said, guys got to play good to feel good, Girls need to feel good to play good.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, really. When I read it, and Mark told me, he said, that is the total difference between coaching guys and girls, is that, you know, you can get on a guy and you can challenge him and get in his face, because it's all about, if he plays good, he's going to feel good about himself. But that girl, to play well, and I know we're speaking generally, but you really got to pump him up, give him a lot of affirmation going in, because the second they feel good, they're going to play good.
Correct. And I'll tell you this much, and in that statement, I always say, girls don't care how much you know. They know how much you care.
Yeah.
And that's how they'll play for you.
Yeah.
If they know you care about them, they'll run through a wall for you.
And the huddles smell a lot better.
Hey, girls can stink too now. So. I'm going to tell you, having a little daughter now, she wasn't an athlete, but I know she'd play outside. She'd come in, she could smell it up a little bit.
Oh, but, we have one that mother won't let her inside when she comes to the park. She says, Mom makes me change outside. She won't even let me come in the house. I think so bad. I just laugh. I'm like, and she's such a lovable child. You know, she's like, I'm like, dude, you got to be kidding me. She's like, no, coach, my mother would not let me in the house. I just start laughing. I mean, but, you know, that's the thing about girls. They'll come tell you stuff like that.
Oh, no. Girls are chatty. Oh, no, yeah.
Hey, you know everything about them. Oh, you know their life history. You know their grandmothers. You know everything about them.
You know, I have siblings who are all teachers. And at one of the teacher conferences, one of my sisters or in-laws, one of them, I just remember this years ago, they told the parents, and they would basically talk about the little girls. They say, look, if you promise not to believe everything your kid says about me, I promise I won't believe everything your kid says about you. And some of those parents' eyes get so big because, you know, behind, you know, whether it's arguments or whatever, and those parents realize, oh, my God, loose lips sink ships.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that 100%. It is insanity sometimes, something you're like, where would you even come up with that?
I'm with you. In my little time, I never coached girls, but just being around my trainers, and whether it's in the lunchroom, And it's like the stuff that will come out of their mouths. And like I said, some of them, they have no filter. And you know, and like I said, they just lay everything out there. Guys are a little more to themselves. They're a little more, you know, personal about things that go on in their lives. But, no, there's girls, they're going to throw it out there. Well, yeah. Changing gears, Coach, talk about Delcom softball this year, how things have gone up to this point, and what we're looking forward to as the season moves on.
We started off, I know every coach went through this, because I've talked, you know, I'm in with our coach association. We talk to the northern coaches, we talk to the southern coaches, and we play a lot. And like I say, Delcom softball is one of those things that everybody kind of keeps us, you know, they know where we're at in the program, and we've been successful in the past. This year we jump out there and we're like, okay, we're ready to go. But it's not, because, you know, the first couple weeks we had to freeze, you know. So, okay, let's freeze. Let's not practice for 2 or 3 days because school's closed now. Then we have pandemic. Well, how many kids do you have that are quarantined? Well, we had a couple quarantined the first couple weeks of school. Well, not, I mean, and you know as well as I do. I know you've coached. So you take your quarterback and you sit him out for 14 days and see if he can come back in and do the same job the day he comes back.
Yeah, absolutely not.
You know, and we had 3 or 4 kids that, you know, got quarantined the first couple weeks of school, so we lose them for the whole couple weeks of practice. We're trying to get them back into a hitting program, and it's just not there. Well, then, you know, then just normal sicknesses and normal school absences and just the way life is. Well, we struggle this year. This is probably one of the worst years we've had as far as winning-wise. And we go out there and we play a good team, and we're all in, and then we just can't get together. For some reason, we're struggling right now, and we'll turn it around just because that's who we are. You know, we're Delcom. We're going to turn it around eventually. But it's just we can't put our foot on that noose right now as to what we're doing to not get games in. You know, we're winning a few here and there, but not like we've been in the past.
I tell you, I've said it. I've talked to many of our local coaches since we started the show, you know, about 5-6 weeks ago. But I can't imagine dealing with what you guys are dealing with right now, because the other thing, that one of the ripple effects is you as a coach 2 years, I'm not even going to say a year ago, because a year ago, of course, you know, we're now past a year of COVID world, okay? But
this weekend would be the last weekend we played.
Yeah, so 2 years ago, if a kid stayed home because of the sniffles, you're hammering her. I mean, what are you doing, young lady? You know, I mean, same with a guy. You know, you're not all in. Well, guess what? Now you got the sniffles. You need, I'm assuming you got to stay home.
Yeah.
You
have no clue. I mean, and not even if you have the sniffles.
Yeah.
Your mom tests.
Yes.
Your mom tests with the sniffles. Hey, you got to stay home for 14 days because your mom's sick.
Yeah. So
not just you. So that's the kind of stuff that's crazy.
Yeah. And it just gets worse when you get in the playoffs, because now you can be derailed. Catholic High soccer team, one of the best soccer teams in the history of the school, gets derailed right before the semifinal game. And it's nobody's fault. It just happens. Yeah. Gosh, dog, man, I just can't imagine going through that. Well, so, Keith, am I correct to say that 7-2A has gone the route of only one round officially in district?
Yes, sir.
Okay, because I read in the paper, because I did see that Lorville's girls beat Catholic High's girls 10-4, but they did say that it was not an official district game.
Correct.
Explain, and I know the reason, but for our listeners out there, explain why you typically go to a one round instead of a two round.
The biggest reason is nowadays the PowerPoints, everything is based on who you beat, how many games they win, and how many games they lose, and the power ranking of your teams and who you play. And our district is a large district, and in certain sports we're really great. You know, some teams, you know, are good in certain sports, some teams are bad in certain sports, and that's what the power ranking does. You know, so we have a really weak softball district. That's just one of our weak points in this district.
Correct.
And the powerful teams were losing points. You know, we might play a team and go up 2 or 3 points in the power rank because we beat them. And then we might play another team the next week and beat them and drop
and lose
down
points. Yes, yes.
So it was kind of, you know, that was the whole key. And the coaches who were dropping 2 or 3 spots, we weren't just doing it once or twice. It was 3 or 4 times during the season because you were beating teams twice and dropping down. So we talked to them, and they said, look, you know, it's all about power rankings nowadays, how much your team can get the power rankings up. And everybody agreed that it would be better for all of us if we could just get more teams.
Yeah, because what you do, you go ahead and schedule the good teams in your district. You schedule,
correct,
because, again, it's PowerPoints. So even though it doesn't go toward the district champ, but let's face it, and I hate to even admit it, because I always thought a district championship was important. And it, I think it still is. It's still a trophy, but it really, relative to the playoffs, district titles don't matter anymore.
No.
It's all about power ratings.
Correct.
Yeah. So, and that's one thing. I remember sometimes still up to this day that people would say, oh, coach, you know, my last year at Catholic High, we started out slow, okay? Ended up losing a heartbreaker in the semis. But early in the year, people would say, oh, coach, that's all right. You just got to get ready for district. And I would love to have agreed with them, but I'd be like, no. District don't matter. It's all about winning football games, and it's all about power ratings. It's not like the old days where if you went 0-4 to start the year and finished 6-0 in district that you were district champs and you got to go in with this great bracket. It's not that case anymore.
Correct. And that's the fun of it nowadays. You know, and you have to schedule wisely. You know, you got to try to schedule the teams that are higher ranking than you and that can win games, but yet games you can win.
Yeah, exactly. And then sometimes you need to take into effect, okay, even if we lose to these guys, it's probably still better than beating those guys. And you have to juggle that. I remember in football, I always put it this way, was if you would beat an 0-10 team, it was the same as losing to a 10-0 team.
Correct.
Exact same points if it's the same classification. Now, if you lose to a 10-0 team that's a couple of classifications above you, now you're making buku points.
Correct.
So, yeah, it is, and it's something that I don't think that's appreciated by the casual fan to understand the science that goes behind all this scheduling and all the things that you have to do to do your due diligence for your girls.
And that's the thing. You know, with football, you have 10 games. You know, softball, we can have up to 34. You know, we have 7.5 weeks in our season, which our season is the shortest of any season, you know, given. We're playing outdoors. We're playing the rainy time of the year, and we're trying to get 34 games in. Now, that's the max games. But you've got to at least play 15 to get in the playoffs. So you've got to play somewhere between 15 and 34 games. So, but you're trying to get your girls as prepared as you can, you know. So we're playing 3 and 4 games a week, and everybody's like, oh, you're playing a lot of softball games. But it's not that as much as we're just trying to get our season started.
No, especially when you throw in the weekend, because, of course, that's what you're going to do on the weekends. You get in your weekday games and then your weekends, and that's just the way it is. I mean, heck, that's baseball, that's softball.
And that's spring sports. You know, it's a rough time of year. You know, that's when everything's closing up and kids are, you know, they're tired of school and you're pretty, like I tell them, March is one of the busiest months at any school because you got baseball, you got softball, you got track, you got tennis, you got golf, all these sports going in and it's a lot on kids.
And especially, and it's more rough at a smaller school because you're sharing more athletes.
Correct. And we share with, like I said, I know we share with baseball. They got baseball, golf, and track going on. You know, we don't have a girls golf team, but if we did, I'd probably have a couple girls that play golf, you know. So it's sharing athletes, and you're trying not to kill your kids, plus academics. You know, you got to squeeze in academics in there, and as much as we hate it, you know, as coaches, that's part of it. That's the biggest part of their school career.
Absolutely. 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 Well, Keith, it's been a pleasure. As the season moves on, we wish you the best, and we're definitely going to get you back when the playoffs get a little closer, and we can talk about that. And I really appreciate you taking the time to come out on the show and just letting you know you guys have a fundraiser. You got anything going on that we can help push right here on Bayou Sports, I got you back, so just let me know.
I'll let you know something. I'm just going to remember. Remember, if you remember the day when you were the Wild God, you remember that day?
that's frat days. And so you were, I still have the T-shirt. That's something that I can't even put on, you know, on Facebook or anything. Those things are so politically incorrect.
The days we did, I can imagine.
the leprechaun too.
Huh? Oh, Lord, man. Oh, hey, a lot of skeletons there. A lot of skeletons. Keith, all right, good times, man. I appreciate you getting with us, and we'll get back again soon.
Take it easy. Y'all have a good day, gentlemen. Thank y'all for calling.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Always a pleasure to talk to our local coaches, and especially when I got a guy that like I said, we go back.
Trade barbs.
Yeah, we go back to 1985-ish, back in those days, and just had it. Like I said, he was just a mainstay. He was an official for intramural sports, and intramural was such a big part of my collegiate life.
It's a lot of fun.
Oh, that was one of the main reasons I joined Lambda Chi. I was a Lambda Chi in college. My brother-in-law, Craig Brody, said, hey, you need to – when I decided that I wasn't going to play football, I wasn't offered a scholarship. I was a preferred walk-on. Actually, Coach Cook was there. And when I realized that just wasn't in the cards. And getting in the intramurals, because what my fraternity was a bunch of ex-jocks that just weren't quite good enough, you know, to bring it to the next level. And we ended up having some flag football teams that were just unbelievable. Some even like volleyball. I mean, I remember us going out there in volleyball and just we had all these 6'4" guys that could just tear it up, man. It was some of the funnest times of my life were intramural sports in college.
Oh, absolutely. You know, while y'all was speaking, I looked it up. Delcom won the state championship for little girls in 2008. Catholic High was 2011. And I was trying to go back as far as I could and trying to see if there were any other local teams that won state championships in softball and couldn't find anybody else. Might have overlooked something, but yeah. I can't recall anything.
We're going to be back. We're going to talk a little more sports. Going to talk a little XFL news, if you even know what that is. If not, I'm going to let you know what that is. And we'll move on in our last segment to talk about who is number 37. What's that in French, Turbo? 37.
Trente-sept.
We'll be right back. Ask Alexa, play Kane 1240.
We at Hike Menville Grubbs in Dalbor are happy to sponsor Coach Brent Indes and the Bayou Sports Show. We have recently changed our name from Hike Menville and Grubbs by adding J.P. Dalbor's name to our marquee. For all your legal needs, choose your hometown law firm, Hike Menville, Grubbs, and Dalbor. See us at 1017 East Dale Street or call 365-5486.
Additive Solutions LLC is protecting frontline workers in the fight against COVID-19. Additive Solutions supplies custom safety shields, air purification, and steam sanitation. Our custom glass installs quickly and is extremely easy to clean, and our industrial purifiers restore your space with the freshest air possible. We will steam sanitize and hand clean all high traffic areas in your facility. Please visit Additive Solutions LLC or call Jace Dugai at 337-577-4858.
Iberia Sports and Rehabilitation has been keeping Acadiana strong and healthy since 2003. We have the highest level of trained and licensed physical therapists who will customize a treatment plan to get you results. Plus, the area's only indoor heated therapy pool and Class 4 laser device. And we provide optimum care with both state-of-the-art equipment and drug-free techniques like dry needling and blood flow restriction therapy. To get better, go to Iberia Sports and Rehab in New Iberia. Visit isrehab.com.
Want to work your body in top condition? Look no further than Frank's Specialty Fitness Equipment. Whether outfitting a home gym or a large rehab center, Frank will get you quality equipment that will last for years. Large machines or small accessories, our selection is second to none. Frank, who was born and raised in New Iberia, will see to it that your equipment is serviced even well after the sale. Visit our website at frankspecialtyequipment.com. Or call the office at 337-316-1231.
Is it time for a new roof or to repair the old one? Hi, this is Jake Blanchard with LA Classic Roofing. We're a third-generation roofing contractor that has been in the business for over 70 years. As a locally owned and operated company, we're also licensed and insured for your peace of mind. We offer free estimates and a $100 referral fee for full roof replacement. Check us out on Facebook at LA Classic Roofing. And the number to call is 465-3888. LA Classic Roofing, professional roofing solutions since the 1950s.
Hey guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
Quarter Tavern is the premier spot for live music. Thursday, it's Kip Sonier. Friday, Beauty of Gray. Saturday is the rescheduled Mardi Gras brunch with Cajun Company Band at 10 and Basin Street Band at 2. And Sunday, it's Gerard Delafosse. 19 TVs has you covered for sports, and no bar has more outdoor seating for proper social distancing. Quarter Tavern, 910 East Main, across from McDonald's. The best drink prices in the Barrie. New Iberia's happiest hours now, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 5 to 8. Most drinks, half price.
Now back to Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indes. Phone lines are open to talk sports at 367-1240.
Okay, we're back in a bit of news. It looks like Kane will not be doing the St. Martinville game. Due to COVID restrictions, many things going on, not super easy to get credentials and different things like that. So you will not be able to listen to that game. So if you want to get there, get over to Burton Coliseum. And we apologize that we will not be able to do that game.
Yeah, this opportunity to get the Tigers on the air and having a phenomenal year, which they caught fire towards the end of the year. And sorry to say we won't be able to do it, but there'll be other times.
Although I'm excited that we found out before the end of the cast so we could let all of our listeners know.
Yeah, so we'll probably have it up on the website and other areas, and we'll be announcing it during the day. So we'd like to have done that, but, boy, they deserve it, too, to be recognized, especially if they win a state championship.
Absolutely. So best of luck to the Tigers against number one-seeded Madison Prep. Moving on, got to throw this out there to all you golfers out there. Of course, one of our sponsors – is Kane Row, which is owned by Hugh Andre and Andre Farms. And just have to say, they've got some great specials going on out there. And if you get an opportunity, you need to go play. Relative to wintertime, and the golf course is in fabulous shape. Bunkers are beautiful. Tee box, just everything. The course is slowly but surely becoming what we have all come to expect from our country club all these years. So if you get an opportunity, go out there and play. You can talk to me about a membership. You can talk to Hugh. You can go talk to Gretchen at the club, Della. A lot of folks over there that's willing to help you out. But really something that New Iberia can be very proud of in the whole Bayou area. XFL.
Woke me up.
XFL.
And that was – the XFL was the – USL was the one in the 80s. The
XFL, USFL.
Yes. And the latter one was the one that passed 8 to 10 years.
Okay, so you had the league that was basically started by Vince McMahon, who – it was more of a gimmick league. It was the whole he hate me deal.
Correct.
Okay, they were allowed to put nicknames, whatever they wanted, on the back of their jerseys. It was all about scantily clad cheerleaders and just anything. It was not pure football. Okay, had some really goofy rules. So fast forward, the league got started up last year. At this time, right as COVID was kicking in. And, of course, the NFL can survive without fans for a short period. They can't survive forever.
No, okay. The TV money's too great.
Okay. But they can survive. The XFL couldn't. But the XFL, mind you, there are 17 players right now in the NFL that came from XFL rosters.
I'd like to know the numbers from the USFL to the...
The USFL were even more than that,
They took a lot of good players.
But the thing is, the USFL was never going to make... This is my opinion, okay? The USFL was never going to make it over the long term because they were competing directly with the NFL.
Yes.
The XFL has no illusions that they can compete with the NFL. They basically want to be a farm system for the NFL. An opportunity... And let's face it, basketball has taken a hit from viewers. It's not being viewed near as much as it used to be, for whatever reason. We're not going to get into that.
Don't know it.
But for whatever reason, it's not being viewed as much. There is a place in there for your football fan that's just not into basketball, doesn't really get into baseball. There's a niche in there. And I do believe now... Tying into my wrestling, The Rock, okay, along with a couple other investors, purchased the league for $15 million. And they're going to get started in 2022. And I do believe that this league can be successful.
Well, I agree with you. I do agree. And it's going to be a feeder to the NFL.
Yes. Just be like a minor league. But just football is such a baseball America's game. You can say all those things. But nobody gets... no sport, and I know I'm gonna, this is arguable with people with passion, but overall in the United States, I'm sorry, football is going to create more passion than any other sport. It's true. Just, it's won the hearts of America. Now, you're baseball purists out there, I get it. They're those baseball purists that just live and die baseball, okay? And I get it. But it still doesn't have the action. It's just different. It's just completely different. The action of it, watching it. You don't have to really understand football to enjoy a football game. If you don't understand baseball, you know, you're just looking at it like, it's just like somebody says, Coach, how do you watch golf? How do you sit there in your recliner and watch golf? I don't expect people to get it, but believe me, I'd rather do nothing on a Sunday afternoon than watch the back nine of the Players' Championship this weekend, all right, especially when the leaderboard's good and we got some guys coming down the stretch. But again, I'm a golfer. So
to go back to this XFL, I'm waiting for the day when you see these kids jump from high school to the one of these leagues because they just don't want to hit the books. I'm telling you, it's coming. I see it coming.
No, there's a lot of things that are coming that I'm not going to – that it's not going to be fun. Tony, I used to be a huge – and we're going to start getting into some college basketball because the tournament's going to come out. I'm going to start following. We're going to start passing things on, especially when we start getting into the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four. We're going to talk about LSU in a minute and what they're looking like. We'll do that in the next segment. But the fact that players don't stay at their schools anymore, they're one and done. It has killed, not killed, that's a bad word. It has hurt college basketball immensely.
Yes.
It's just hard to get behind a team because you don't develop an allegiance. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Talking about the greatest times of my life, you know, talking about my college time, and thinking about intramurals and all that, one of the most awesome times, and look, I was a USL student. USL in basketball was okay back then. When Chris Jackson and Shaquille O'Neal and Stanley Roberts were about to tip it off on a Saturday night, and my future wife is saying, come on, we're going out. I said, not till this game's over, baby. I mean, that was must-see TV.
Three lottery picks.
You know, I mean, God, Chris Jackson to me was just
smooth.
I'd rather wait. Chris is one of my favorites ahead of Shaq as far as just favorite guys. And again, because I was a smaller guy and I was a guard. And I remember in intramural basketball, Chris had that move where he'd go through his legs and straight up with the jumper. And I taught myself that shot just you know, as a 20-year-old.
Yeah, imitation. Yep. It's great form of flattery.
I just sit there and through legs, boom, come up, jack a three. So, again, it's just and the more that they're allowed and look, I get it's a free country. There's an argument. People should be allowed to make a living. And age, as long as you're 18, shouldn't be. I get it. It's kind of not the American way to force a kid not to make money. But it's not good for the sport.
Yes, you're right.
It's not. I don't even think it's that good for the NBA. NBA would rather them stay in as a whole.
Yeah, their skills get refined but, you know, over a period of time.
But, you know, when you really talk about the American way, I get the other argument. Selfishly, I just want to see him stay in college for 3 years, sure. At least.
And I see this happening with this new league. I see kids jumping from high school into this
league. Well, what you would hope is they're going to try to hold the same rules as the NFL.
True.
Because if they want, again, to me, the key for this league to be successful over a long period of time is we are not competing with the NFL. We are a farm system.
Yes.
We are there for entertainment. They don't have to call themselves a farm system, but that needs to be the perception. All right. Tiger Woods coming home soon.
Yeah, boy, wow.
Which, that's got to be good news.
Yeah,
I'd say so. If he's going to be allowed to go home this soon, it's got to be good news for him. Rory McIlroy came out in a statement, said that he had talked to him, said he's going to be heading home. So that's got to be good news.
Yeah, good to see, too.
Yeah. Happy for him. Again, we got the Players coming up this weekend. One of the greatest fields that you'll see in golf. TPC, the infamous Island Green, number 17.
They teed it up this morning, didn't they? don't they, in their first
round? Correct. Today's day one.
That's right.
And looking forward to that this weekend. I'll check in each evening on the Thursday and Friday rounds. Now, of course, when it becomes a major, it's a different story. Now I'm watching cover to cover.
Well, you can watch the Golf Channel later on the season,
exactly.
Watch the replays and all that.
Exactly. So looking forward to that. We're going to be back. We're going to talk a little LSU basketball, talking about them going into the SEC tournament, what their prospects are for the big dance, see how that's working. Talk a little today in history. I've got a really good one that I feel today that ties into the whole theme of number 37. And we will talk about my 37th pick all-time. And I say favorite, all-time influenced by a wrestler of all time. Because a lot of these guys I hate. I hate a lot of these guys. If I saw them on the street, I'm grabbing a chair and I'm going across the back.
Tron set.
We'll be right back.
We're making it easy at Arsenal Ford this month. What month is it?
It's truck month.
Take $13,000 off the last 2020 F-150s in stock.
Because it's truck month.
We make it easy at Arsenal Ford.
Want to work your body in top condition? Look no further than Frank's Specialty Fitness Equipment. Whether outfitting a home gym or a large rehab center, Frank will get you quality equipment that will last for years. Large machines or small accessories, our selection is second to none. Frank, who was born and raised in New Iberia, will see to it that your equipment is serviced even well after the sale. Visit our website at frankspecialtyequipment.com or call the office at 337-316-1231.
Nowadays, none of us can be without adequate insurance coverage, but we still want to be sure we're getting the best value for the money. That's why so many people call the Schwing Insurance Agency to get a quote. The Schwing family has been handling the insurance needs of businesses and homeowners for almost 80 years. You can depend on Schwing Insurance to find the coverage you need at the best price. So before you buy a new policy or renew an existing one, call the Schwing Insurance Agency for a quote at 365-2357. Schwing Insurance, 300 East Main, across from the Shadows.
We at Hike Menville Grubbs and Dalbor are happy to sponsor Coach Brent Indes and the Bayou Sports Show. We have recently changed our name from Hike Menville and Grubbs by adding J.P. Dalbor's name to our marquee. For all your legal needs, choose your hometown law firm, Hike Menville Grubbs and Dalbor. See us at 1017 East Dale Street or call 365-5486.
Folks, I'm going to let you in on the best-kept secret in New Iberia. It's called Blazing Specialties. Robert Romero daily prepares a masterpiece of Cajun-inspired delicacies such as stuffed breads, wings, boudin, crackling, as well as pre-cooked and frozen foods. Need an event catered? Look no further than Blazing Specialties to make your event unforgettable. When I bring food to a customer, it's always Blazing Specialties. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. and located at 1115 Center Street next to Freeman Plaza. Blazing Specialties. Come and get you some.
If you're suffering from a sports-related injury, choose Iberia Sports and Rehabilitation. Our highly trained and licensed team will work with your physician to provide a customized treatment plan to help you recover as soon as possible. Iberia Sports and Rehab is proud to partner with our local middle and high schools to keep their athletes healthy and in the game. To get better, go to Iberia Sports and Rehab in New Iberia. Visit isrehab.com.
Now back to Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indest on the all-new Kane 107.5.
All right. I think everybody, they get it. They know when I get to this last segment now. My juices start flowing. Get a little fired up. If I had hair on my head, it'd be standing up.
Yep.
We're going to start out with a little teaser today in sports history. So if I say the name Bronco Nagurski, Turbo, what do you think of?
Fullback.
Okay. Chicago Bears. 30 to 37.
Somewhere in there, yeah. He played in college.
Well, one of the greats of all time. Of course, it's impossible to compare players from the 30s to players now. But relative to that time, one of the greatest NFL players of all time.
Absolutely.
He's a bad dude. And also played linebacker, you know, played defense, of course. They
went 60 minutes.
Yeah, they went 60 minutes back then. But you want to know something else about Bronco Nagurski?
I'm sitting down.
In 1941, Bronco Nagurski beats Ray Steele to become the heavyweight wrestling, pro wrestling champion of the world.
Did not know that.
Bronco Nagurski.
I knew he wrestled some, but didn't.
And look, ended up coming back for a comeback. Coming back, that's poorly stated. End up having a comeback with the Bears in 43 during the war.
Oh, wow.
Okay, evidently it was too old by then to be drafted or do whatever.
He must have been in his mid to late 30s.
But when you think about it, when I do the math and I think about the war, well, of course, probably the Bears were, a lot of guys had gone off to war. So now, hey, let's bring this guy back. Even though he's past his prime, he can help us sell tickets, and continue this thing going. Because I'm going to really challenge your sports history here, Turbo.
I'm ready.
Was NFL football played completely through World War II? Was there ever a hiatus?
To my knowledge, no. Even I want to say the Steelers and the Eagles combined their teams during World War II, and there was not a baseball. The president said we must continue to play baseball. Mm-hmm. They did. Of course, the game wasn't the quality that it was before and after.
And, of course, baseball then was bigger than football, way bigger.
Oh, absolutely.
It wasn't even close.
Yes, that's correct.
It wasn't until the Super Bowl era. It wasn't until the late 60s, early 70s that football started challenging baseball as the number one draw in America.
And baseball blinked because they went to night baseball with regards to the World Series and All-Star games and things like that. They could see it coming that the NFL was to take precedent.
And again, you go back, and I think it was going to come regardless just because of the nature of America and the way it was going to go. But Pete Rozelle, you can't say enough about that guy who was the pioneer that saw the potential with television, the combining of the AFL and the NFL, going back to the XFL, the last time a league. People don't remember that. The younger generation doesn't remember that the AFL challenged. It was an upstart league.
It was.
That actually challenged the NFL and became so good that it merged.
Yeah, and, you know, college football was so much more popular than the NFL up until, like you said, the mid to late 60s. Yeah. College football was much, much bigger. They were second compared to baseball.
So many things in pro sports. If you go back and read about Jack Nicklaus, at one point, just really didn't feel he could make enough money as a professional golfer to where it would be worth it.
That's true.
But ironically enough, ended up, like Tiger did in his day, he himself raised the purses because of how good he was. And, you know, and coming out and, I mean, look at Teddy over here. How many Arnold Palmer fans hated Jack Nicklaus? You know, I'm going to tell you right now, one of Teddy's all-time greats is Tom Watson. I hated Tom Watson.
Really?
Why did I hate Tom Watson?
Little Tom?
Because Tom challenged Jack. When Tom chipped in on Jack at Pebble Beach on 17, I wanted to grab the chair and hit him over the back of the head.
Didn't Watson say that Gary Player didn't Watson say that Gary Player cheats? Didn't Watson say that back in the day?
Okay, so you're on now.
Yeah.
Okay,
Teddy. Yeah, I just want to say this because you were reverting back to Jack Nicklaus and stuff. I read an article where Ben Hogan, in his total career, earned $308,000. He won 9 major championships.
And one of the top players ever.
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 If you would translate that money to today's money, it would be $176 million.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's like you just can't compare players and money and stuff like that.
Equipment.
Well, everything. I mean, it's just it's just ludicrous.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they compare Hogan with the accident because, you know, Tiger's accident. And how both of them, hopefully Tiger will come back. And I heard you mention that he's going to get to go back home to Florida, which is great. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that in.
But going back, Teddy, the golf purist, the ones that we grew up with it, and we just lived and died with them, you know, and we're gonna have Masters Week, and I'll go ahead and say something that I wanted to say for Masters Week. One of the greatest days of my life is when Jack Nicklaus on the back nine in 1986, and I'm gonna go into detail come Masters Week about where I was that day, what I was doing.
I was watching Jack.
I watched it with the big putter and what he did on the back. I mean, I got chills right now just thinking about it.
I can still see Sevilla just hooking it off of 15, right? Boop.
Well, it was 13, wasn't it?
No, it was 15.
It was 15?
He hit a three iron. It was 213 yards. If he hits that ball on the green, he wins the tournament.
It's over. Yeah.
But he hit it so fat, the ball barely got to the lake.
And you know that a lot of people would say that, you know what made that shot fat was all those roars.
Jack's Angel.
All those roars that were going on.
Well, that was when he sank that putt, too, on 17.
Exactly.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The infamous. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, just you could go on. But again, like I said, now, Tom Watson, one of the saddest days, and look,
oh,
I know I'm
God.
Getting,
I know
but when
going.
Tom Watson knocks the ball over the green when he's 60 years old in the PGA,
That's right. I wept.
My heart still bleeds for that.
The guy pures an 8-iron, thinks he can't knock it over the green, and he's so juiced up he knocks an 8-iron over the green. Would have arguably been the greatest accomplishment in the history of sport.
Of all sports.
I didn't say golf. No, I'm talking all sports.
Yeah. Was he 60?
He was 59.
Okay.
Almost
right. 60.
He would have been 60 in September,
I
and that was in
that.
July.
Tom was watching that.
And again, I hated Tom Watson for years because Tom...
Little Tom.
Took away from Jack. You know, because Jack was my dude, man.
But to show you how close those two became, Jack, when he called him up to console Tom, he says, Tom, you're the oldest player to lead the British Open in round one. You were oldest to lead in round two, oldest to lead in round three, oldest to lead in round four.
Yeah.
You just didn't win the dadgum thing, you know? But, I mean, and that's something to be proud of,
for sure.
No doubt. All right, I'll let you guys go.
All right, I enjoyed that.
Thank you.
Enjoyed that. Okay, finishing it up. 37.
Trunt set.
This gentleman, eventually, I'm not going to start as a wrestler because this guy, although I hated him because he was a heel, he was a bad guy, actually came right at the end of my, when I really became aware of this guy, and probably the reason he made this list, the only reason, is because he became so famous as an actor and a politician later in life. Jesse the Body Ventura.
Hello.
Jesse the Body. Famous for saying he had T-shirts printed that he wore. Win if you can, lose if you must, but always cheat.
I wonder if he did that in politics.
Oh, and I can't do this story justice without really seeing what I'm doing, but Jesse the Body was once asked in a political venue what was the problem with the traffic in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. And he proceeded to look at the gentleman that asked him the question. He says, well, it was built by the Irish. And the second he did that, he put his fingers up to his mouth like he was drunk. Oh, yeah. Can you imagine?
Not me.
Can you imagine the people that he ticked off? Well, it was built by the Irish. And he's acting like, you know, he's gulping some suds down. I mean, when I say politically incorrect.
Sounds like something you'd see on Blazing Saddles.
Oh, we can't even go there.
I know. But they did. But they did.
Oh, they did. They did. The 38th governor of Minnesota was a U.S. Navy underwater demolition team member in Vietnam. This is a bad dude.
Oh, yes.
Which leads you to believe why he was thrown in there in the movie Predator. He was infamously one of the guys, along with Carl Weathers, that were killed. You know, of course, you know that everybody with Arnold was going to get killed in that movie. The Predator was going to get him, but of course, they weren't going to get Arnold. Okay. So Jesse the Body was one of the first to go down in Predator. He was also in the movie Running Man with Arnold. Okay, so they had a little bond there with Schwarzenegger. But Jesse the Body, just another one, like Ken Patera, as we talked about yesterday, was always a bad guy. And again, I appreciate that. I hated the guys, you know, later in the WWF, Hulk Hogan was a good guy. Then he was a bad guy. Ric Flair was a good guy. Then all of a sudden he's with the Four Horsemen with the Anderson brothers. He's a bad guy. Never did get that. Loving the stuff that, you know, yesterday, my man Kabuki, Raymond Bernard, who's nicknamed after the great Kabuki, sends me a picture of himself with Dick Murdoch on his, wearing a Dick Murdoch t-shirt, who Dick Murdoch will be on the list, and he will be very high on the list, okay? Talking with my buddy Ross Booty yesterday, he was giving me his top five, and what's funny is three of his top five are right there with me.
Oh, okay.
But a couple of them, they're not even in my top 40 because, again, he's a little younger than me, so there are certain guys that fit into his memory that don't fit into mine. But, yeah, Jesse, everybody knows who Jesse, right? I mean, you got to live under a rock if you don't know who Jesse the Body Ventura is.
Boy, you're right about that.
And, boy, he had that. You know, before Randy Macho Man Savage, before the guy that talked like that, he had that whole shtick, that whole persona, and the way he spoke was just a larger-than-life guy. Ended up being a manager for a while, then ended up actually getting into commentating later in his career. He was a guy that he was always good behind the mic, and that's why he ended up being a good politician.
Oh, yes. Oh,
he
yes.
actually was neither a Democrat nor Republican. He, God dog it, it escapes me now, the Reform Party or something.
Yeah, he wasn't an independent.
Ended up, I think now he's in the Green Party or something. He leans pretty hard left now. But just an iconic guy that helped grow loosely. I say the sport. Yeah, look, I get it. It's loosely, but
promotion.
Oh, the good old days, man. So we got more coming with my list. I'll post that one along. Now tomorrow, we got a couple of folks that are going to be in the house. So I've got Eric coming back tomorrow. Eric Hike, my UL aficionado with Hike, Menville, Grubbs, and Dalbor. We're going to talk to Rob Segura. A new Iberia Yellow Jacket product that has been the head baseball coach, highly successful.
Won a state championship.
Baseball coach at Lorville for the past, it's got to be pushing 10 years
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I would say 8 or 9.
Yeah. Correct. Son of city judge for many years. Is Robert still a city judge?
Yeah.
No. Okay. Now retired city judge, Robert Segura.
Eric's older brother is. Eric Hike's older brother.
There we go.
Our city judge.
There Trey. We go. Trey. Robert Segura, one of the nastiest putting grips in the history. Remember, Teddy, how he used to grip down on that putter, Robert?
He'd make them, though.
I want to say he putted with a bullseye as well, with an old bullseye. But he was a good putter.
Very good putter.
He was a good putter.
Carried his game.
Yeah. Again, I'm going to figure out how we're going to do it because there's going to be so many people I want to get on. But we're going to talk Iberia Country Club like for an entire show one day. And just different things that went on there that were such a big part of my life growing up, and I know many, many other folks. And we're also going to have former Cajuns player Jace Conrad that we're going to talk to. Talk a lot of Coach Tony Robichaux, who to me is one of the greatest human beings to ever walk the face of this earth. And I'm sorry, I'm going to say that. I just think he was that good of a guy. Talk to Rob, talk to Jace. Talk a little more wrestling. I know who 36 is. So, what, 36? Can you tell?
Theron Cease!
So, we got Theron Cease coming up tomorrow with the wrestling. We appreciate all the calls. We're getting to a point now where we're going to have to talk to the boss. We got so many sponsors wanting to get involved with the show now. We might even have to talk to the boss to see if we can stretch it out a little bit.
We are.
No, just the Everybody wanting to get involved
and it's
just been fun.
Yeah, it has.
It's been fun. So we appreciate you. We thank you for your patronage to the program, and looking forward tomorrow to talking to Rob Segura and Jace Conrad. And right now, tomorrow we will be 7:45, right after
the Fishing and Hunting Show.
Ricky Watkins and my man Turbo right here going to talk a little hunting and fishing. And we'll be back at 7:45 for about 45 minutes.
And you're right and in that regard. So we look forward
to it. And also, don't forget about St. Martinville. Of course, I want to restate that Kane will not be doing that game, as stated earlier. We just had some complications that arose, so that won't be able to happen. But wishing the St. Martinville Tigers all the best in their quest for a state title, a 4A state title in basketball.
Yeah, bring home that big trophy.
You know, going back to the days of Leonard Swat Mitchell and, yeah, and those days with just some great players from St. Martinville.
Was it Aaron Mitchell, who was a little guard for him that played at LSU in the later years? I think they won it, and his dad was the coach, I believe, in around 2000.
I do remember Coach Mitchell as the coach.
Yeah, and they had a really good team. My escapes me, but I thought they won a state championship also in those particular years. So.
Yeah, it was that Final Four team. Tell me if I'm correct. Ethan Martin at point guard. Ethan Martin.
Yeah, it was.
Rudy Macklin.
Yeah.
Howard Carter.
I had another year.
Leonard Mitchell.
Yes.
And Greg Cook.
Correct.
With super sub Willie Sims coming off the bench.
You said Howard Carter?
Yes.
Okay.
Redemptorist.
Correct.
Howard High C. Carter.
Yes. Yes.
They had a song, Tigers to the Top Now, Fighting Tigers, LSU.
Well, I want to say that Jerry
1981, if I'm correct.
What was the Jones? Johnny Jones wasn't on that?
Oh, no. Johnny Jones was before that.
That's who I was thinking.
Johnny Jones was before that.
Ethan Martin.
Yep.
But they had another one. The kid that also played the Redemptorist with Howard.
Willie Sims was number six. He was a super sub.
Derek Taylor.
That was later.
Okay.
I'm telling you, Derek Taylor was later. Brought him to another Final Four, but Derek Taylor was later.
Okay.
Yep. All righty. So we're going overtime. We're having so much fun. Got to get to work for my man Chris Bigler at Integrity Rentals. Push some hardware out there.
Absolutely.
So I'll be going to visit C-Trax today. My boys at C-Trax. Going to give them a call, see if I can push some iron with those guys. With that being said, we are brought to you by Iberia Sports and Rehab. Hike, Menville, Grubbs, and Dalbor. Schwing Insurance. Soon to have another Schwing on board. Jimmy Schwing with his safety outfit out of Gonzales. Blazing Specialties. Additive Solutions. Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Come out and check it out, folks. It's getting in great condition. The Quarter Tavern. Went there yesterday. Had a great time. Arsenal Ford. Frank Specialty Fitness Equipment. Action Specialties. Who will actually going to be getting their commercial together. Mark's been procrastinating on me, although they've been a faithful sponsor. Hadn't put together the commercial, so we should maybe even have that commercial on for tomorrow.
Lenny, you hearing this?
Mark came up with a 30-second spot, and Lenny said, no, that's Coach don't want to read that.
All
said,
right.
we need something better. So we're working on that.
All right.
L.A. Classic Roofing, the official roofing contractor of Bayou Sports. And Grittick, LLC, Electrical and General Services. That's a wrap. We will see you tomorrow at 7:45.
You're listening to KANE 1240 AM and K298CQ 107.5 FM, New Iberia.
The voice of the Tash.